VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Game Podcast from The Times. I'm Gabriel Marcotti and I wish you a very, very happy 2018. If your 2017 was good, I hope that it'll be even better. If your 2017 was bad, then won't take much for 2018 to surpass it. Now, will it? Now, with me in the studio, it's Allison Rudd and it's Henry Winter. And together, we'll be doing part two of our Premier League half-term report cards. An A means you are far surpassing expectations. A B means you're above expectations. A C means you are meeting expectations. A D means that you are subpar. And an F is a fail. Southampton, one of the gold standard clubs for how well they're run, except maybe when it comes to axing Claude Puel.
Well, the axing of Claude Puel looked rather stupid when they were heavily outclassed and defeated by Leicester recently. By a team playing the exciting football they hoped they would get under Puel and didn't get, which is why they fired him, even though he reached the League Cup final where they played exciting football. So I think they lost their way slightly, Southampton, and then they appoint somebody who drifts between occasionally playing the dullest football you'll ever see, occasionally playing quite exciting football. I'm not entirely sure what they're a club famous and lauded for their mechanisms internally, and they know exactly where they're going, and they like to promote from within, and they don't go and spend money because they believe they've probably got someone good in reserve already there coming from academy level through. Of late, you've wondered where that, you know, James Ward-Prowse rested quite a lot. He's clearly, I think he's going to be a future England captain. He's back in the team now.
Are you mistaking him with Mario Lemina? Because they look very similar.
No, I think you can put money on it. I just think there's an inconsistency of approach at Southampton. So sometimes they look like Southampton of old, right, and sometimes they look like a pale imitation, makes you wonder why they sacked Puel in the first place.
What's your grade?
My grade is C-.
The problem with Puel was charisma. It wasn't anything tactical.
He still hasn't got charisma.
But the thing about Leicester is all the charisma has always been, with great respect to your compatriot Ranieri, the charisma has always been in the dressing room. That is such a strong, powerful dressing room. It's run by three individuals in particular. And I actually think you could almost run it without a coach. I think there's almost that. It's a bit like that Chelsea, you know, when Chelsea kept losing managers and they kept on getting on to the finals when AVB went and they piled their well. They're like that Monty Python knight. You can lop bits off them, but they just still keep on, you know, it's a flesh wound. Keep fighting. So I think Puel's been very clever at, Leicester. But in terms of Southampton, what the fans wanted and what the players wanted wasn't someone who was softly spoken and was a little bit reticent. Because, you know, he is a good manager. His record shows that. But you know, I know you were like to bring everything back to statistics, but sometimes it's more visceral than that. It's about personality. It's about his individual qualities.
Well, you've got the great charisma of Les Reed at Southampton, right? So
yeah, but he's the nuts and bolts man. He's not front of house.
I know. But so in terms of where they are now,
right,
on their performance arc this season, okay? So they're 11th in the table as we're recording this, but they're also just 4 points from the relegation zone. And this is Southampton we're talking about. Where do you see it?
C-.
But Henry has given me a really good idea for a new TV show where a club with a strong dressing room is run by a robot. or by a computer to see how they do.
Yeah.
I'm going to make
we're
this...
We're coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to make this easy, and I'm going to go C-minus as well. I expected teeny bit more from Pellegrino, but he does have mitigating circumstances. Huddersfield, Wags, Henry.
Love them.
Can you not?
I like the ground. I like the atmosphere. I like the fans. I like the noise comes from the smart seats and the cheap seats. I like the press box there where you're sitting behind Dean Hoyle, the owner, who is absolutely going through emotional torment. We saw that in the playoff final. He's sitting there and his two sons are there. I like the fact that his sons go and work in the club shop, and even though he's worth tens of millions of pounds, you know, they're not sport. There's something incredibly refreshing about their approach. They are a breath of fresh air to the Premier League. Some of their football at the start of the season, some of the approach, very good manager who clearly is going to go higher and higher. I hope they stay up because I think there's a reminder, a little bit like with Burnley, of what you can do with just backing a manager, being sensible. And I think they're great. So in terms of above expectations, can I go A?
You can certainly go A.
Yeah, I think I'd go along with that, mainly because the playoff final against Reading was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. And they'd been very sort of disciplined and almost quite dull through the campaign anyway. And the climax of that was this dreadful, dreadful negative, dour game. And I expected them to be not only struggling but also dull with it. And I agree with Henry. They've been fun. They've been fun when they lose and they're fun when they win. And even when they don't even play that well, there's something they bring something to it. Like a player you haven't noticed before.
Man City, a real game. Yeah. I know that City won in the end, but
they were pants against Chelsea. But hey,
everyone was raving about Delph, but Tom Ince had the running of him.
Okay, since we're talking favorite Huddersfield players, I'm going to give a shout out to my man Aaron Moy, and of course, you know, it's always difficult for me to praise and show love and effusiveness for Germans, but Schindler, wow. I mean, especially when they do that thing where they press and all of a sudden there's a big gaping hole in front of them, the movement's there, and the guy next to him, who I don't think is that good, I'm very impressed. So I'm going to give them an A minus. Allison, did you give your grade?
A.
All right. So Huddersfield get an A, just like Burnley. Brighton and Hove Albion, another promoted club. Henry.
I know they've had a bad run of it, but they went in there. I expected them and Huddersfield to be rooted to the bottom. I think if you're taking the overall experience, it's one of the best away grounds to go to, particularly if you tack on a long weekend in Brighton. The atmosphere there is good. Their approach is good. I think he's a fantastic manager. I think he's
a very likable, good person too. Yeah. And there's a lot of managers that you can't say that about.
Yeah, no, he's very honourable. There's not much nobility in the game, but there's certainly dignity to Chris Hughton. I think although you can't involve it in grading, I think the fact that he's a black manager in a basically a white man's dugout, I think he puts a bit of pressure on him. And I think he's very aware that he is a role model. And he knows that if he does well, then maybe the glass ceiling, well, it's not going to be smashed open anytime soon because of the attitudes of quite a few chairmen. But I think eventually they will more and more. Black managers, BAME managers, will be seen quite rightly and will fill the dugout, and they'll be there on. And we'll have a sort of a more diverse sport reflecting the dressing rooms. So I think he's been terrific. He hasn't spent huge amounts. Did I say A?
A. There you go.
Give him an A. Allison, A minus. Just
A minus.
Differentiate it from Huddersfield.
Yeah, A minus. They're struggling slightly at the moment, and in a way that is below my expectations of them because they started well and they look to have sort of sorted out what to do on the road. They were so disciplined away. I was at the game where they completely outplayed West Ham at the London Stadium, and I thought, well, that if they can do that, because they were very, very impressive. Their defending was one of the best defensive displays I've seen of any team in the Premier League actually that day. So together, you know, every type of defending was there, last ditch tackles, but intelligent positioning as well. And they seem to have lost that now. So I think they are doing incredibly well given their budget and so on. And Chris Hughton's a fantastic bloke, but I would give them an A- too.
All right, I'm going to go a little bit lower because, I mean, just modulating versus other teams with, I think, less resources and less leadership. So I'm going to go B+, but it still averages out to an A-. Bournemouth. Alison.
Maybe a C. I think there's a narrative with Eddie Howe because I think his story is compelling and he's English and he's always being linked with bigger jobs.
Youngest manager in the Premier League as well.
And his youth. And the fact that he has done so well so far in the Premier League, got to grips with it really quickly, and so everyone loves him for it. I think inevitably that was going to be stunted because they haven't had massive investment. It's regurgitating the same old. So they're not a surprise.
Massive investment?
No. How massive would you say it was in the summer? They're not renewing it. They're not. There's not that sense of regeneration with masses of money.
Defoe's done pretty well.
Yeah, Defoe got length of contract and the wages.
But Defoe's old. I mean, he's not. It's like an emergency purchase. It feels like to me.
That's fine, but I mean, it's still Eddie Howe having some money and being told, all right, you can sign this old guy for 3 years, it's going to cost this much, or you can take some of that money, you spend it on transfer fee, sign some other bloke. I mean, these are choices that managers make, right? He administers the budget there. So if you don't like Defoe as a signing,
I just don't think Defoe is going to save your season.
But what I'm saying is, you can't say that there's been massive cutbacks or that they lost.
I'm not saying there's been cutbacks.
It's all the same guys. Did they lose anybody? Have they sold any player who was a major contributor in the past?
Jack Wilshere went back.
Yeah, no, but it's all the same people, right?
That's so, what I mean. They did. They overperformed.
Okay, so
they had been overperforming.
So what's your grade?
So C.
Okay, Henry.
C++. Is that possible?
No, you only get 1+. Sorry. I'm going to go C as well. I have to average it out as a C. I think they've jumped the shark a little bit. I know teams have to renew themselves. I know they've done it with, you know, Lewis Cook, who they brought before. They brought him along slowly. They often do that. But by the same token, when you have, I think sometimes he shows too much loyalty to certain players. And it's a tough spot to be in because it's a tiny club. But they could very well be in the relegation fight, so they've avoided thus far, so they're meeting my expectations. Here's a team that's probably not in the same boat. Stoke City. Henry.
Difficult times for Hughes, partly because of the raised expectations of their recent league finishes. You just are they going through that calm time, or is the water become stagnant? It's very difficult. I've got a lot of time for Hughes. He's one, you know, we talk about Chrissy Hughton. I mean, he's one of the most sort of, I would actually say, pretty much moral, dignified characters in the game. I knew Hughes fairly well, and he's a very, very interesting, reflective character. Doesn't necessarily, you know, given the way he played, he's actually quite sort of quiet, just likes, you know, living his life. He's not a sort of Mourinho tub thumper. But it's frustrating watching Stoke because I really want them to do well, because I want him to do well, because he's one of those managers I most respect. But I think what he's got at Stoke is he's got an incredibly loyal board. He also has got fans who, I understand, they're discontent at the moment, but they're in my top five most knowledgeable fans and the best to talk to when you're going into ground or on social media or whatever. I find them very pretty balanced and reflective. So the fact that some of them have been turning, I would, you know, that's really worrying for Hughes.
Do you agree?
D+.
Yeah, I agree completely with D+. Yeah. And I agree with everything you've said about Mark Hughes. He doesn't duck it. When they have a heavy defeat, he will talk. He doesn't go off in a mood. I don't know that he sees how he's going to turn it around.
Yeah, I have him D+. I certainly expected him to be doing much better.
The train is now
approaching junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting one for you now, Alison. Newcastle and Rafa.
Maybe it's a C. Rafa, fantastic manager. Fans love him. There's a lot in place at Newcastle for it to have been. Actually, it's done exactly what we thought, because they were so happy to be back in the Premier League. A good manager, got off to a great start because he was able to harness the excitement of being back in the Premier League. But he said all the way along, I have a championship squad. I don't have the players to make this last. I can't sustain this early piece of excitement.
At every single stop in his career, but yeah.
But it's true here, isn't it? You can't knock someone for telling the truth.
Yeah.
And they do look like a group of players that won the championship, right. But can't.
C for Alison.
Can't.
Henry? It's funny because when he said it at previous clubs, he's alienated some of the players. Actually, he said, my squad's not good enough at Newcastle United. And the players still back him. The players are still out there.
Some of them are realistic, I think.
Yeah, but they've got problems there. Look, they need Ashley out. Can I give Ashley an E and Rafa an A and meet somewhere in the middle, which is probably C minus?
I'm going to go C plus, simply because I said this is not a good squad. They're slightly meeting expectations. They're not in the relegation zone, but they could be. So I think they're right about it. It averages to a C, which is pretty much where we expect them to end up. West Brom, of course, a managerial change along the way. Henry.
West Brom. I'm going to have to go C minus, and that might be generous.
That's very generous.
Can Especially I go as they will never score again.
C treble minus. I think if you actually looked at the squad, not necessarily the greatest squad, too many centre halves. So there was an issue there in terms of. Well, I'll take it down to a sort of D plus, because they are, if C is meeting expectations, they're D.
Alison?
Yeah, D, but it's quite complicated, isn't it? Because it's not just the club, it's how they're run, and I don't know that it was the right thing to do to get rid of Pulis at all, actually. And that might come back to haunt them.
Well, if it wasn't, then you compounded it by hiring Pards. So,
probably a D plus.
I'm going to go D minus, which we can average out to a D. Sorry, West Brom. Palace!
Two stories. One was the
it's
absolutely
one story.
Appalling.
It's one story, because Steve Parrish has been there all along. It's one story. It's the story of a season, you know, and overall, and you have to view it from the summer. You bring in Frank de Boer, right?
Bad decision to bring him in and then not stick with the decision and then give up on the experiment very quickly.
And you have a manager savaging
they
his own player
now,
for daring to take a penalty.
They will now probably, I think, escape relegation.
I don't think Roy Hodgson quietly savages people.
No,
I
but
think
the
he
media
might,
reaction to Benteke.
I think he might lecture them, like, in a slight.
I thought he was quite calm. Given,
you know what Roy's like. I mean, you've interviewed him, and
I was surprised he dissed him in public like that, the way he did. I mean, I have no problem. Behind closed door, you take Benteke, you pin him to the wall, and you shout at him if that's your style or whatever you want to do. In public, I don't know. I would have just said, look, well, we thought Milivojevic was supposed to take it. I'm going to find out what happened and deal with it.
This wasn't a simple mistake that someone had made a mistake on the pitch. This was clearly going against his orders. So I had total sympathy with Hodgson. And also, if you listen, you can fillet his quotes how you like them. But actually, if you listen to them in full, he basically said that he thought that the fans would get behind them, which
Yeah, maybe they did. But unless you know Benteke so well, and I think we've seen in the past, he's a bit of an uneven character. To go out like that, if Benteke then takes it badly and he becomes unplayable or the fans turn on him or whatever, then you're left with no center forward. You're left with a badly depreciated asset. Let's not forget, Benteke was a Liverpool center forward not that long ago.
Do you know what? Benteke needs to raise his game.
He's
been in the shallows for too long.
But you
he
do that
look
in private,
in the mirror
though,
I think he needs shaking up, Benteke.
You're great for Palace's season thus far.
Give them a D. Can I give the fans an A?
Sure.
D.
Okay. I'm going to go along and give them a D simply because I like Roy and I think things will get better, although I'm not sure they're going to stay up. West Ham United.
Even though they're held down by one of the worst architectural decisions in London since probably the fire of London, I think is D generous?
Yes.
D minus generous?
Yes.
Well, on the basis E is having
there is no
Christmas off.
There is no E.
I'll go F plus.
Alison?
I just thought you could do F plus. I love F plus. I love the concept of failing badly plus.
Well, you
spelled your name right. Exactly what it is, isn't it? Okay, I love F plus. I want to give it F plus because I want to say F plus a lot because it sounds great. But yeah, what a mess. What a mess that
I'm going straight F. I hope David Moyes sorts it out because they deserve better. But this is not good. And finally, the Swans.
Well, they're meeting my expectations. They're probably meeting most people's expectations. They sold, they made money, they brought nobody in. Well, they did, but they didn't bring very much in, did they?
We were hearing just now how great Tammy Abraham was, right? In England centre forward that they have and other teams near the bottom of the table don't. I don't think Tammy Abraham was a bad signing. Rafa wanted him in Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle were absolutely spitting tax.
Exactly.
I'm talking about priorities.
All right.
If you've got the limited resources that Swansea have, you've sold Gylfi Sigurdsson, who kept you up, you get a lot of money, you don't spend that money, you're playing nursemaid to Tammy Abraham. I don't know. They're meeting expectations.
See?
But they're going to go down, aren't they?
All right. Henry?
C minus.
I'm going to go D because I expected more for them, but we can average this out too. A C minus. So, just to tell you who our top performers are, our top students, they are Manchester City, Burnley, and Huddersfield, all of whom get an A, closely followed by Brighton, who get an A minus. Watford and Leicester City earn B pluses. United and Spurs get B minuses. West Ham get an F, despite winning the World Cup. And it's D's, i.e. subpar failing grades for Everton, West Brom, Crystal Palace, and Stoke City, who do get a D+, though, possibly because of the Mark Hughes effect. We have some awards for 2017, for calendar year 2017. Our producer, Charlie, decided that we're going to do this FIFA Ballon d'Or style.
Sorry,
I know.
They're separate.
I said, I know.
The Ballon d'Or is not polluted by FIFA anymore.
FIFA or Ballon d'Or, no. Okay, yeah, not polluted. That's your...
I've got the email.
The FIFA awards are now called the best.
The best.
So, give take advantage of Henry being here with us. Henry, your manager of calendar year 2017. I know this is going to be tricky because we're talking over two seasons, but this is the way Ballon d'Or does it, and FIFA, the best.
Not Mourinho, not
Silva. You don't have to pick from these names on the list, by the way.
Well, I can't really see anyone else. I have to go Guardiola. Even though last season was below expectation, this season is just so fabulously good. And I would have Sean Dyche as his sidekick.
Alison?
Oh, I'd have to give weight to Conte winning the title. I think he's a proper coach. We bang on about the staff you have behind the scenes and so on. I really do feel that Conte made his mark on that team.
And I'm going to go, we're going to have a problem because I'm going to go Sean Dyche because over the course of 2017, he kept Burnley up, which is a feat unto itself, and right now, they're joint fourth in the Premier League, for those of us who don't believe in goal difference. So
he's manager of the year, because he would be my close second. So if you add up all the points, he wins, doesn't he?
Thank you. I would imagine he'd probably be Henry second, too. So well done, Sean Dyche. Our player of 2017. We have some nominees here from Charlie. You do not need to go for these, but we have N'Golo Kante. We have Kevin De Bruyne. We have the Harry Kane, the four-season wonder, of course. We have Romelu Lukaku, who scored a ton of goals for two different clubs. And we have Mohamed Salah, who has only been here half a season, but hey, that's all he's needed, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, he plays for Liverpool. Alison.
Yeah, well, I like all of them. I would go with De Bruyne because he's been consistent throughout the whole of 2017. It is rare to see a player who is so intelligent, the variety of what he can do that is so beautiful. And I don't think there's been a match where he hasn't done something that makes you think, wow, that was really good, Kevin. And he's a nice bloke. And throughout the whole year, he's not had any dips. He's been fantastic. So it's definitely him.
Yeah, I'm a huge De Bruyne fan, but I would, and Kane as well. I would have definitely those two in the top three. But I have to go for N'Golo Kante. Vote of him as Footballer of the Year for the last 2 years. He was fabulous for Chelsea, the whole two-player element to him. And I think when he hasn't been around this season, they've missed him. I think he's a special player, and he would walk into any team in this country.
I have to side with Henry. I'm going N'Golo Kante as well for all those reasons. When he's not there, you really miss him. Many, many thanks to my guest today, Alison Rudd, who is not related to Amber Rudd, apparently, and Henry Winter, who, as we discovered, once kissed Amber Rudd during his university days. We're going to be back next Monday looking back at all the magic created by the FA Cup third round weekend. Yes, as the song goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And of course, that third round weekend includes a rerun of the Merseyside Derby.
The Game is brought to you by The Times. For more information and more podcasts from The Times, head to thetimes.co.uk.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.